it's getting very close, Mike. You know, people ought to be able by now read the handwriting on the wall. You've got your Mexican trucks now able to come across and drive around in America with no safety standards like all the American truckers have to follow. They're just bending over backwards every which way, but to open things up, and you know, there is not a drop of racist blood, I guess I should say, in my body. Usually when you can't get a hold of me, we're taking food and clothing and things down to people in Mexico. So I love the people, but I hate the Luciferian agenda, wherein this net and this noose and this snare is closing in on us, and still people fail to see what's really going on. You know, this week they declared this National Day of Prayer. President Bush did that. Well, I think Elijah said it best in the fewest number of words, in that the spirit of Adolf Hitler was on Bill Clinton, the spirit of Goebbels was on Hillary, and the spirit of Goering was on Janet Reno. Now, these are spirits that were actually in and on and empowering people in Nazi Germany. And you recall why I told people for years that I did not think Clinton planned to leave office, and it wouldn't really make any difference if he did. That it simply made no difference whether it was Tweedledee or Tweedledum in the White House, because there is a spiritual wickedness emanating from that office that is nothing but Luciferian. I'm going to try to bring up a copy of the presidential declaration, the proclamation that the president made about that. Of course, on that National Day of Prayer, we were in prayer and fasting all that day, and it was just a tremendous spirit of grief and heaviness that came over us. And at some point during that, I read that proclamation. A spirit of righteous indignation came upon me, even to a point of righteous anger. And I cried out against that thing. It's so sad, Mike. It's so sad to see what is upon us, and that just as surely as God said in His Word in 2 Thessalonians that He would send a strong delusion, this strong delusion sent by God has been sent, and people are under that strong delusion. Now, there are probably people listening to your programming that may not be under that strong delusion. If people don't know what I'm talking about, I hope that some people will call in and ask about this strong delusion, because it people just don't see what's happening. Yes, you see, we're Americans, Mike, and we all come from this stock of hard-working, God-fearing, risk-taking people who make plans and delight in carrying out those plans. We're good planners. That's who we are as a people. I mean, if you could define Americans as a people, they're hard-working, God-fearing people who are not afraid to take risks, but more than anything else, they're good planners. They like to execute their plans. They just love it when a plan comes together. You see, when Jesus comes back, and when these things happen that Jesus said were going to happen, Americans in particular want that to happen to some other generation. You see, because when He comes back, He's going to mess up everybody's plans. You know, the people that get up in these churches and say, well, I believe the Lord is coming back soon, and everybody says amen, they're all liars and hypocrites. They don't want Him coming back, not on their watch. Well, Mike, at least you're honest about it. Most people are not quite to that level of honesty with themselves yet. And don't you see, this is the thing that you've got to come to grips with, because unless you can come to grips with that, unless you can walk circumspectly, look around you, and see what happens around you, and know why these things are happening, know the spiritual dynamic driving this thing, you're going to be also taken by that strong delusion, because it is a strong delusion, especially for Americans, because of who we are, Mike. And at least you're honest about it. But the majority of people that say, well, I believe the Lord is coming back soon, they're liars and they're hypocrites, because they don't want him coming back on our watch. But this is the one reality that your listeners need to get a hold of today. He is coming back, and it is on our watch. And everything that is written in the scriptures describing this time and describing this situation in which we live, it is happening on our watch. We are the people about whom and for whom all the scriptures were written. All these things were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come. And that's why we need to take the more earnest heed to these things. And if we will, and it's difficult for Americans, very, very difficult, but only if we will look at that reality can we see the great glory and the great joy and the great opportunity, the greatest opportunity that's ever been presented to mankind, is dropped right in our laps, and we don't want it. Well, you see, it's not about us. It's about him. You know, what I might try and do, Mike, I might try and get on another line at the break and see if there's any possibility that we could have Elijah join us, because, you know, when I got so angry and I thought about putting a list bomb out on it, I had a check in my spirit about it, and I called Elijah. I was able to get a hold of him, and I faxed over to him a copy of that presidential proclamation, and that same righteous indignation rose up within him. So that's what I did, is I had a very, very short lead-in to that listbot covering the proclamation. I put the proclamation down there, and then I gave what Elijah had to say about it. Now, we run this website and list different than anybody else that's probably got a website. In other words, we try and knock people off. We try and shake people off. People come to me and they want me to salve their conscience, and I just throw salt on it, you know, because I don't want that conscience that has a little bit of life left in it healed over. I want that conscience to hurt so bad that they run to where they can get the real fix with the blood of Jesus. We shake them off, brother. I'll tell you, before Elijah crossed paths with us, we were probably having 3,500, 4,000 people a week around the world come to it, and we've knocked it down to around 2,000. And, you know, people that I've known for years, given sacrificially to, ministered with for years, they just cannot receive, how could this man be Elijah? Well, you know, I don't like to talk about it, and I have to be somewhat careful to talk about it, because people cannot receive this, especially in America. You know, just the fact that this guy is walking around and saying the things that he's saying, and God backing up the way, the words of this man, the way God does, people can't deal with it. You're dealing with it much better than, oh, we've known each other about 2 years. 2 years ago, I would not have thought you could have dealt with it as well as you are dealing with it. But it's tough, and you're honest about that. And that's what gives the hope, that you maintain that honesty about it. Maybe the best thing for us to do is to read this proclamation that Bush read, to see if your listeners can discern what the problems in the declaration really are. Well, it was issued on April 30th, and May the 3rd was to be a National Day of Prayer. How many even knew that a National Day of Prayer was declared on May 3rd? But when I read this, a spirit of righteous indignation and godly anger, I think, rose up within me. You know, it's got the distinctive marks of Luciferian subtlety all over it, and I just wonder if your people have the discernment to see the problems with this thing. This is by the President of the United States of America, a proclamation turning to prayer in times of joy and celebration, strife and tragedy, is an integral part of our national heritage. When the first settlers landed on the rocky shores of the New World, they celebrated with prayer. And the practice has continued through our history. In 1775, the Continental Congress asked citizens of the colonies to pray for wisdom in forming a nation. General George Washington, encamped at Valley Forge, also sought God's guidance as Americans fought for their independence. the faith of our founding fathers established a precedent that prayers and national days of prayer are honored part of our American way of life. Continuing in that tradition, many of the men and women who have served at the highest levels of our nation also have turned to prayer seeking wisdom from the Almighty. President Lincoln, who proclaimed a day of humiliation, fasting, and prayer in 1863, once stated, "I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for the day." Today, millions of Americans continue to hold dear that conviction President Lincoln so eloquently expressed, gathering in churches, synagogues, mosques, temples, and homes. We ask for strength, direction, and compassion for our neighbors and ourselves. The theme of the 2001 National Day of Prayer is One Nation Under God. In a prayer written specifically for the occasion, Americans are asked to pray for a moral and spiritual renewal to help us meet the many problems we face. Special observances are scheduled for all 50 states, with local volunteers planning a variety of activities, including prayer breakfasts, concerts, rallies, and student gatherings. These events will bring people of all faiths together, each according to his or her own beliefs, to give thanks to the Almighty and to ask for strength and guidance. Congress, by Public Law 100-307, has called on our citizens to reaffirm the role of prayer in our society and to honor the religious diversity of freedom permitted by recognizing annually a National Day of Prayer. And now, therefore, I, George W. Bush, President of the United States, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim May 3rd, 2001, as a National Day of Prayer, and seeking, ask everyone each to pray in his or her own manner, seeking God's blessings on our families and our government officials and personal renewal, moral awakening, and a new spirit of harmony across our land. I urge all Americans to join in observing this day with appropriate programs, ceremonies, and activities, in witness whereof I have hereunto set my hand this 27th day of April of the year of our Lord. You got it, brother. You hit it. You hit the nail precisely on the head. You see, it sounds good, but that's the fingerprints of Luciferian subtlety. You see, it sounds good on the surface, but number one, Jesus Christ is not mentioned one time. Yeshua HaMashiach has no place whatsoever in that declaration. So the obvious question that people ought to ask, what God are we talking about here? You see, there is a God that all faiths can come together to worship. You see, but it is not the true faith in the one true living God. There's only one true living God. And all faiths can come together to pray together to this God who is not the one true living God. Do you understand it? Praise God. Hallelujah.